Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Farzad Mostashari, National Coordinator for Health IT within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining us from IBM is Gio Patterson. So, Doctor, technology is not just just a tool, really, in a sense, but it's a critical tool to foster much needed innovation in entrenched industries like healthcare, which can be perceived as such. Perhaps you could give us a sense, and our listeners a sense, of what we mean exactly by health information technology, and more particularly, what are some of the key components that make up health IT?
Yeah, and also, you know, we say this, and I think some accept it, and others may be more skeptical. What do you mean it's critical foundation? Well, you know, why can't we, you know, people have been taking care of patients with pen and paper for 5,000 years or more. Why do you say that this is the foundation? Look, it is the needs of healthcare and how healthcare is delivered have changed dramatically. We now have many, many, many more providers touching every patient. Coordination of care becomes really much more difficult. And in a 24/7 world with, you know, there's the expectation that information is just going to be available on your mobile phone, on the go, in the middle of the night. And it's no longer acceptable to say, I'll, you know, go back to the office and I'll pull the chart and I'll get back to you. So there's some part of this modernization in healthcare that relates to direct patient care, right? Do I know this patient? Can I learn what their healthcare journey has been? Can I graph their lab values? And can I quickly retrieve that piece of information? Can I share that information with my colleagues? Can I access it if I'm called by the emergency room at 2 in the morning? And right now, up until recently, in a paper-based world, that was a crapshoot, right? Who's got the chart? Where's the chart? Am I in my other office? Oh, we got to call over for the charts in the other office. I think I remember the patient, right? But that idea, that part of it, is the most superficial, frankly, part of electronic health records, turning the healthcare experience into bits and bytes as opposed to scribbles on a piece of paper. The real transformation comes when that data comes to life. And when I write on paper and I close that file, that data is dead. And it only comes to life when the next person opens it, it goes through their eyes to their brain, and they process that information. It is lazy data, dead data. Whereas with electronic information, clinical information, that data can be used to do something like, one, make a list of patients. So think for a moment about if we lived in a world where doctors and hospitals had a reason to ask the question of all my patients with diabetes, how many of them are under good control and how many are not? How many are under poor control, haven't seen me for the past 6 months, and are not on insulin? If we really want a healthcare system that can answer that question, that basic kind of management question that every retailer, no retailer could survive nowadays without being able to answer those kind of questions about their customers, right? We can't do that. If we can't do that in healthcare, then we're leaving lives on the table. And that is what we call population health management, being able to make a list of patients, send them reminders, understand how we're doing to be able to step on a scale and have metrics for our own behavior and to track and improve on those metrics. That, I think, is for me, is what really defines the transformative potential of health information technology, making those bits and bytes available. And then it's the promise of the future. It's that once that information is electronic, that we can learn things, there can be associations, there can be the big data and the small decisions that flow from it, the learning that can come for public health, for research, for safety. You know, it's an age of data, and we're bringing that data to healthcare.
Farzad, your office is charged with improving health and healthcare for all Americans through the use of IT. I'd like to explore this strategic vision that frames the direction of your office. Would you highlight your key strategic goals and outline the federal health IT principles that inform your strategic approach?
Absolutely. There are five elements in our strategic plan. The first is to increase adoption and exchange of health information. That's the basic foundation. That's the basic nuts and bolts of what we have to do. The second is to draw ever more tightly the connection between those and the outcomes we seek. So the optimization of the technology to get to the goals, the very specific goals around reducing inefficiencies, improving quality, improving safety, improving patient centeredness, and so forth. The third is, while we do this, we have to maintain trust in the technology. We have to maintain trust around safety and around privacy and security, critically. We cannot take risks. We can't compromise the safety and the trust of the patients in the systems. The fourth is to use the technology not only in doctors' offices and hospitals, the hopefully 0.001% of our lives where we actually spend in care settings, but in the 99.999% of the time that we're not in the doctor's office or the hospital. So to expand the ambit of health information technology to the consumer technology space, to applications and services that can help us manage our health and healthcare and healthcare finances. And finally, it's to create that framework for innovation and for learning to come. So those are the five strategic priorities for the Federal Health IT Strategic Plan.
I would like to turn to a term that folks are getting familiar with, which is meaningful use.
Yes.
It's the adoption and meaningful use of health IT. First, would you explain for us what it means, meaningful use, and would you elaborate on the three-staged approach you've taken?
So meaningful use was actually a brilliant term that was coined in the legislation, the high-tech legislation that created this next phase as part of the stimulus bill. And what it said was that doctors and hospitals can earn these payments not just for buying a software system, but for actually using it in certain ways that are known to be associated with and prerequisites for the outcomes we wish to seek. It's defined in regulations, and it says these are the things you have to do in order to qualify for the incentive payments. I'll give you an example. Turns out blood pressure control, right? Only about half the time patients with high blood pressure have the blood pressure controlled. If we do a better job of that, we can save the most lives of anything. We basically say you got to be able to have quality measurement, decision support, registry functions, and you need to have all the data elements that go into doing those things. You have to have the blood pressure and the medications and the vital signs and the smoking status and so forth. Well, that's basically halfway to meaningful use, right? You got to be able to do those things. You're halfway to meaningful use. Then the next thing we want providers to do and what they want to do is not kill people. So what kills people? Well, Medicare, start with medication safety. A couple hundred thousand adverse events, deaths a year from medication errors. Well, now we're 80% of the way to what people have to do to become meaningful users, and so on. So meaningful use takes the goals and it says these are the behaviors that are associated with doing that. We understand you can't get there in one leap, right? And we want the most number of people to begin this massive change operation. And so we said, and the legislation permitted, doing it in stages. Stage one, start collecting the data, get your feet wet. Stage two is a real push on data interoperability and exchanging information. Stage three, we've said aspiration is going to be about more and more about outcomes, not checking the box on this or that or collecting data or even getting to good processes. It's really after you've been doing it for 4 or 5 years, it's now to step up to outcomes. So that's kind of the staged approach that we're thinking for meaningful use.
So what are some of the barriers you've faced that you've seen in the recent trying to adopt, implement, and achieve meaningful use? And how have you used the lessons learned from those barriers to influence your path forward?
One barrier is change is hard. Change is really hard. And this is a big change in how we do work. And it's not very well fit to the reimbursement of today, which values, you know, seeing more and more and more patients with less and less time. So the problems that you run into there are, one, there's a lot of providers who really need a helping hand to be able to implement this effectively and to optimize the technology, because just putting it in is the first step, and really it's the optimization that is so critical to getting to the outcome. So I can talk more about the regional health IT extension centers and the important work that they've done. Another challenge comes around the usability of the systems. And a lot of providers and a lot of us in nowadays have gotten used to software and hardware that work together in very intuitive ways. And then interoperability, as I mentioned, having the systems talk to each other is critical. I think those are some of the challenges, and there's many, many more, but some of the main challenges that we are taking, I think, good positive steps in resolving. But this is not going to be an easy or a short journey.
So, Doctor, you're not doing this necessarily alone. The HITECH Act called for the creation and establishment of two federal advisory committees. I'd like to talk about them. What's their mission, and can you tell me how you interact with them, and what's their accomplishments to date?
This has been actually one of the most interesting parts of running this process. So these committee, the policy committee in particular, was explicitly created to represent these broad stakeholder viewpoints, the Government Accountability Office points the majority of them, the House minority and majority leaders, the Senate, the majority and minority leaders also appoint their representatives to the committee in certain roles. And the committee, the policy committee gives me and then the secretary recommendations on how the policies should be aligned. And the standards committee really tells us what are the national standards that are needed to move us forward on interoperability. And when the opportunity came with the HITECH legislation, we expanded that nationwide. And we now have, and this is really a kind of a breathtaking statistic I hope your listeners will appreciate. I think it's the largest medical technical assistance project in history. 140,000 primary care docs in America have gotten assistance. And the GAO found that they're 2.3 times as likely to get to meaningful use. And these are in some of the toughest places to go to. We went to the smallest practices. We went to the poorest counties. We went to the most rural areas, the critical access hospitals. And there is now a regional health IT extension center that is there for every part of the United States and territories. And they've been really amazing examples of how with federal support and convening, but local knowledge, local resources, we can make big, big things happen.
How has the nationwide adoption and use of health IT, especially electronic health records, progressed? We will ask Dr. Farzad Mostashari, National Coordinator for Health IT, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.